Well, good morning to each one of you, and greetings in the precious name of Jesus. I, too, have been blessed with the service thus far, and I'm especially enjoying the study in our Sunday school lesson this month. For a message this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ruth. This morning, for a message, I've chosen to title my thoughts, Lessons from the Life of Ruth. Today is Mother's Day. As I thought about the emphasis that the world puts on Mother's Day, I was again reminded of just how much we owe our mothers. As Christians, every day should be Mother's Day. And so this morning I want to begin by giving a special mention and blessing to the mothers among us. God has given you a lofty and a high calling. There's one thing that every one of us has in common. We all have or had a mother. Mothers do more to shape the future of their children than any other individual. Yes, fathers are the head of the home, but it is a mother to whom most children will turn in times of need. And so I just want to say God bless you in your role as you seek to serve Him. Originally, I thought I might preach a message dedicated to mothers, however, felt led to perhaps go in a different direction. And then my prayer would be that the message this morning would be something for everyone. It's perhaps geared more toward the ladies, and it could also be a message directed to the youth. Young ladies, as you look at the qualities of Ruth, it can be a challenge to develop those same qualities in your life. And young men, I invite you to listen up as well, as you perhaps look forward to the future and perhaps the prospect of marriage. I would urge you to use the points in the message this morning as a guide for evaluating your choice of a life companion. I invite you to turn with me to Ruth chapter 1. For a quick background, verse 1 tells us that this was during the time of the judges. A lot of Jewish historians think that the outset of this story is right before the time of Gideon, when the Midianites and Amalekites were coming to destroy the land, and the children of Israel were starving because of the lack of food. You can read about this in Judges chapter 6. And they also use that same reasoning to explain perhaps why Elimelech chose to go so far away from Israel, that he did it out of fear. We don't know this, since all the scriptures tells us is that it is in the time of the judges. We don't know why Elimelech chose to disobey God's commands and turn to the land of Moab for sustenance, because moving to Moab was not a light thing. For starters, it was a journey of approximately 50 miles and would have taken about 7 to 10 days to travel. And secondly, he was moving his family to a land, to a people that God has specifically cursed. In Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 to 6, it says, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor of Mesopotamia to curse thee." And then skipping down to verse 6, it says, "Thou shalt not seek their peace nor prosperity all the days of thy life forever." And so as I thought about that, I had to think, why did Elimelech move his family here to a land whose people were cursed by God? We don't know. However, we can see from this book that it did not turn out well for him. But through it all, we can see God working through these events to further his plan, because God is not limited by man's failures. As far as Ruth is concerned, we don't know how old Ruth is at the time of this book, at the time of the return from Moab to Bethlehem. Most likely, she was probably in her late 20s or early 30s. So with that as a background, let's read, start reading at Ruth 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return to the country of Moab, from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed him, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her, and she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. So I'm going to skip down to chapter 2. And start reading verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth and of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz come from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. and she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I am wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also that thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet not thee in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Chapter 3, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. I'm going to cease reading there. What a story. I know that was a lot of reading. However, as we go through the message this morning, I have 7 points or character traits that I want of a godly woman that I want to pull from these scriptures. The first one I find is that Ruth was dedicated to following God. No matter the cost, she was sold out for God. Looking back at chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we have Ruth being willing to go against the cultural norms. In the Eastern culture, it was expected for a person to stay in their culture or religion. And it was very uncommon for someone, especially a widow, to move from their culture and religious background to something different. But Ruth was different. She apparently had saw within the life of her mother-in-law something that she wanted. And at first glance, you could wonder, well, why would Ruth want to have anything more to do with the God of the Hebrews? So far, her relationship with them had only seemed to bring her heartache. After all, her marriage into the family had ended with the death of her husband. In fact, every male in the household had died, leaving absolutely no heir for the future. And in that time and culture, it was seen as a curse to be childless. So why would she want to remain associated with a God who did this to his children? As I think about that story, I think it has to point to the faith of Naomi. It would appear that despite living in a foreign nation, in a land that was steeped in idol worship, Naomi had still chosen to follow the God of Israel. In spite of all that God had done in her life, in spite of losing her husband and her two sons, in spite of losing everything that could ensure her future legacy, she had chosen to still follow God. And there was something in her life and commitment that Ruth valued. And Ruth was willing to give up everything that she knew and was comfortable with to learn to know that same God. And so we have her giving perhaps one of the most well-known pledges of obedience and love that are recorded in the scriptures. And because of that vow, God could use her in a mighty way. As we read in the passage from back earlier from Deuteronomy, God had said that a Moabite couldn't come into the temple of the Lord for up to the 10th generation. Yet we know that Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. And we know that he went into the temple of the Lord. So at first glance, that would seem like this is a contradiction. But it is not. And I think the answer lies in these verses here. When Ruth told her mother-in-law, "Entreat me not to leave thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy God, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." With these words, Ruth was rejecting her Moabitish heritage. She rejected the gods and idolatry of her homeland and chose to follow the God of Israel. She refused to identify with the people she'd been born to and chose to instead identify with the people of God. Ruth never lost her Moabitish DNA, but she chose in her heart to follow God. And with this resolution, as recorded in these verses, she changed her life to live as a Hebrew. And she was willing to leave all to follow her mother-in-law. And God blessed her mightily because of her conviction and her commitment. She became part of the godly lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The next character trait I see in Ruth, I find in chapter 2, verses 2 to 15. And I have Ruth was industrious. Here in these verses, we can see Ruth being willing to do her part in providing for herself and her mother-in-law. In verse 2, we have her volunteering to go out and glean in the barley harvest to provide for their physical needs. This was not a glamorous job. Yet she did not hesitate to do her part. She was willing to humble herself and glean. By gleaning, she was automatically classifying herself with the poor. Most people don't like to be classified as poor. And in the Old Testament culture, poverty was seen as a sign of no blessing of God. And yet she did it willingly and cheerfully. If you turn over with me to chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and we have Boaz telling her to come hither at mealtime and dip in and to eat with them. And then verse 15 says, or at the end of verse 14 it says, and he reached her parched corn, and she didn't eat and was sufficed and left. And when she had risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men to let her glean even among the sheaves. And as I read that, I see a lady that is industrious. At lunchtime, she obeyed Boaz and came and ate with them, with the rest of his workers. However, she did not tarry. When she was done eating, she got up and she went back out and got busy. From verse 15, we can conclude that not everyone else was finished. The young men were obviously still resting, yet she had already went back to work. Now, I'm not advocating that it's wrong to stop and rest. God has created the woman as a weaker vessel. And there is nothing wrong with getting tired and needing a nap. That's not my point. The point is, she did not sit idly by trying to get the attention of the young men. Instead, she was reserved and went about her business. She got right back to work. And looking at verse 16, we see that Boaz noticed her industriousness and told his young men to help her and make her job easier. They were to accidentally drop some of the handfuls of grain on purpose, since she would be able to gather more than was normally be left. God blessed her because of her attitude towards her situation. And another thing that I noticed that pointed to her industriousness and care for her mother-in-law is in verse 18. When she returned at the end of the day back to her mother-in-law, she brought back food to her to eat. Apparently, she had not eaten all of her lunch and had saved some for her, for Naomi to eat. And that reminded me of the verse in Proverbs 31, verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Ruth certainly displayed the characteristics of a virtuous woman. The third point I have is Ruth had a good reputation. A godly woman's actions will not go unnoticed. In chapter 2, verse 7, when Boaz went out to the field to check up on his servant's progress, he noticed a strange woman that he didn't recognize reaping in his field, and the foreman told him who it was. And I think it's significant that the foreman added that she had been busy in the field from the morning to the present time. Apparently, her industriousness had already made itself known to the foreman. And it impressed him. We also can find evidence of her good reputation in verses 11 and 12. Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how you left father and mother and came into this land." Boaz told Ruth, "Everyone knows what you have done for your mother-in-law, and we admire you for it." And so he pronounced a blessing upon her, and so it is even today. In the society that we live in today, the sight of a godly young woman fulfilling the place where God has called her is a pleasing sight. I also had to wonder as I pondered this chapter if Boaz was perhaps reminded of his own past and his own lineage. According to the biblical lineage as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 1, Boaz's own maternal lineage was an outsider and not an Israelite. His mother, or perhaps his grandmother, was none other than Rahab, the harlot, who had chosen to place herself in the hand of God and was saved when all of Jericho fell around her. Perhaps he saw Ruth as another outsider who was willing to place herself in the hands of God, and he was impressed by it. And I also want to point out the humble response of Ruth to the praise of Boaz. In verse 13, she humbly answered Boaz with humility and respect. She fully recognized her position as an outsider in the land of Israel and felt unworthy to be classified even as one of his servants. And I also was reminded of the words of Jesus in Luke 14, verse 11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." God can work with a heart that is humble, and it will not go unnoticed by those around you. Number four, Ruth was dependable. A godly woman will be trustworthy. Turn with me to chapter 2, verse 17. "So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." According to the Archaeological Study Bible, an ephah was approximately 4 gallons, or not quite a bushel. She kept at her job all day and was rewarded at the end with enough of grain to beat it out to almost fill a bushel of grain. And those of you who are farmers can probably picture the pile of barley that she would have had to have end up, she would have had to collect in order to end up with almost a full bushel of grain at the end of the day. It also says that she beat out what she had gleaned. This was also a very labor-intensive job. The way they removed the kernels of barley was from the stalks of grain was by beating them on the ground with a stick over and over again until they had pulverized the heads of barley and the grain would fall out. Then they would take a shovel or scoop and throw the grain up into the air and let the wind to blow the chaff and the loose stems away. And then the heavier grain would fall back down to the ground and it could be collected and swept together. And then the grain would have to be sifted to remove all the dirt and the stones and any other foreign objects that was in it. It was a slow process, but Ruth was rewarded with her efforts with a full ephah or bushel of barley. And an ephah was equal to about 10 omers. And according to the law, if you look back at Exodus chapter 15, verse 16, God had commanded them when they were traveling through the wilderness to collect an omer of manna for each day. And according to Jewish tradition, an omer was approximately what one man could eat in one day's time. So Ruth gathered enough grain to be able to, in one day, to feed her and her mother-in-law for 5 days. And this was a large amount to be able to collect in one day of gleaning. The next verse that I found that points to her dependableness is in verses 21 and 23 of chapter 2. And we have Ruth there telling her mother-in-law that Boaz had told her that she's supposed to stay by until the end of harvest, stay by his fields to the end of harvest. And it says that in verse 23 that she kept by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and until the end of wheat harvest. And according to Jewish tradition, the barley and wheat harvest lasted approximately 50 days. And I see this as a testament that to her dependability. She kept at her job, gleaning every day for 50 days. She did not stop until the task was completed. And because of her dependability, God could bless her. I was reminded again of in Proverbs 31 of another verse, verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. God could bless her because of her willingness to do what she could. Number 5, Ruth was reserved. A godly woman will have a meek and quiet spirit. In chapter 2, verse 13, when Boaz pronounced a blessing upon her because of her diligence and care for her mother-in-law, she responded in meekness and humility. Actually, if you'll back up to verse 10, it says that she fell on her face before him in a sign of humility and surprise that he would even acknowledge her. It seems she had no desire or want to be noticed. In verse 13, after Boaz had blessed her, she identifies herself as a servant, and she readily admitted that she was different than his other servants. In fact, she doesn't even attempt to put herself on the same level as even his servants, but instead acknowledges that she is a foreigner in the land. The point is, a woman with a meek and a quiet spirit will be noticed by those around them. And I also see another example of her reserve being noticed in chapter 3, verse 10, when Boaz blessed her for not following after other young men. In other words, he blessed her for not trying to gain attention of the younger men, but instead being willing to follow the direction of her mother-in-law and the law of Moses. The sixth point that I have is Ruth was obedient. A godly woman will endeavor to follow the commands of those to whom she is accountable to. If you look at chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, we have her mother-in-law, Naomi, giving her specific instructions to go down to the threshing floor and request Boaz to perform the duties of a kinsman to her. And then in verse 5, we have Ruth's answer. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Now, to those of us in our Western culture, the things that Naomi told her to do would seem bold and improper. And yet, we see that God blessed her because of her obedience. Because Ruth was not being improper in her request to Boaz. By lying at his feet, she was showing submission to his position as a near kinsman. And by asking him to spread his covering over her, she was asking him to fulfill the commands of the law as a kinsman redeemer. She did not come demanding her rights, but instead lay at his feet as an humble servant, signifying her willingness to accept the commands of the Mosaic law. If you look at the law of Moses as it's recorded in Leviticus chapter 25, if someone had to sell their house and land because they had fallen on hard times, or here as it seems in the case of Naomi and Ruth, they had lost it because of the famine, a blood relative could buy it back and redeem it for them. And it is this law that Ruth is appealing to Boaz to fulfill. And we can see there in verse 10 that Boaz blessed her for her faithfulness and propriety. And because of her obedience to the law of Moses, God blessed her. And so that brings me to my last point, number 7. Ruth was used by God. A godly woman who is in the will of God will be a useful vessel in the kingdom of God. Because of Ruth's willingness to place her life in the hands of God, God blessed her mightily. In Ruth chapter 4, we have the account of the marriage of Ruth and Boaz. And verse 13 tells us that God blessed her, and she bare a son. The woman who had entered the land of Egypt, a widow, destitute, with no friends, save her grieving mother-in-law, is now married and blessed with a son. Because of her willingness to be used by God, God saw fit to place her offspring in the godly line. She became the great-grandmother of King David, and by extension, a right to be included in the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do want to hasten to say that just because we are following God does not always mean that we will be blessed in the same way that Ruth was blessed. God does not always bless in physical ways as he did in this case. However, God will always bless in spiritual ways if we choose to allow our lives to be directed by him. We may not always reap the same material and physical blessings that Ruth did, but we will always reap the eternal blessings of an eternal future in the presence of the ultimate kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. What better blessing can there be? And so this morning, I want to bless our sisters among us. May God bless you as you look to him for guidance and strength. And may you too find blessing as you rest in the shadow of the Almighty, your kinsman redeemer. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us.